Mother, man.
Spreading faster than a case of the clap in a trailer court. Able to shatter eardrums within a 666-mile radius. A podcast more brutal than all the rest. It's Murder Metal What the fuck is up? Chris Shawback.
Hello, Pete. How are you this Tuesday evening?
Pretty good, man. Getting ready to do our thing on Tuesday.
Yes, Mother's Day special. It's That's a lot right. after Mother's Day, but it's the Mother's Day
special. Well, Monday, you know, or Sunday is the first day of the week. So yeah. we're in Mother's Day week right
fuck
now.
Fuck yeah, dude.
There's no bad time to do Mother's
Happy
Day
Happy Mother's
special.
Day.
That's right. And this year, we're going to do it on that crazy bitch who commanded her own kids
and their friends
to beat and stab this motherfucker to death in front of his mother, which is pretty fucked up.
Yeah, it's a pretty fucked up story.
In a fucking wheelchair with Alzheimer's. Awful fucking situation. But it's going to be a wild one. And another reason why it's going to be wild, we got our boy...
Cashman up in this bitch. What up, Cashman?
Cashman outside. Gormonger himself. What's
Cashman
up?
Cashman outside, inside the studio.
Hell that's right.
Yeah, dude.
That's right. Always nice to have you here, Joey.
Hell and, yeah.
It was good that you had the evening available to come in and talk about some crazy bitch stuff. I'm sure you can contribute to the conversation.
Sure. Yep.
So I think we probably all, at one time or another, could relate to some crazy bitch. So. Or bitches, whatever bitches. The case may be.
No offense to all you good females
that's
out
right.
there.
That's right. Now, last week, dude, we did one hell of a monster, like 2.5 hour long Murderbilia episode.
William and Bob talking some shit.
Yeah.
Loved it.
That was some good stuff. Yeah, William Harder, A Murder Auction. 48 minutes of that, dude. It was fucking intense.
He's insane, dude.
Yeah, talking about fucking Dorothea Puente and fucking Charles Ng and... Bittaker and some of these sick motherfuckers. I mean, wow. Pretty crazy stuff.
To actually go in there as much as he did to talk to him is nuts, man. Hell yeah.
I know. And then Bob Weiss, of course, our friend from the Shaker Cigar Bar in Milwaukee with the Cream City Cannibal Dahmer tours that he's got going on there. We had a whole 18 minutes of that with Bob. So we just packed with two great interviews there. So if you guys are into Murderbilia, definitely want to check that out. If you missed it, that would be last week, episode 54. We had CK talking about the Misfits. And I think you guys dug my story about the crackhead who almost killed me. The Mayhem segment. That was pretty wild, Joey. You'll
yeah,
look forward
I'm an
to
episode
that.
Behind up at this point.
Yeah,
but
that's what's coming up.
Yeah.
Me and a crackhead going at it. It was pretty wild. Yeah.
That's a killer cage match.
Yes. So it's a good one if you guys missed it. Now, since this is our annual, and we could say that because we have done one of these before.
This is our second freaking Mother's Day
it
episode,
is.
So it's annual now. Fuck
it
yeah.
is. And it was on our
Catherine
girl.
Catherine Knight last week,
wow.
last year, man. Just
now, my daughter had told me about Catherine Knight. She forwarded me a text with her Wikipedia or something, YouTube video. And I was like, holy shit, you
right?
know? And I remember we were just starting this. I'm like, dude, have you fucking heard about this chick? You know, because... I don't think I had, and I was just like shocked.
Like, holy fuck.
And so that was the perfect one, you know, to do for last
for
Mother's Day.
Yeah.
We had Amanda Howard, the author,
yeah, that
Australian.
Was that was great.
That
Amanda
was one of our first, if not our first Skype interview.
I think it was our very first,
yeah.
honestly.
So that was pretty crazy doing
Thank
it all
you,
the
Amanda.
Way to Australia. So yeah, that was really cool to have her on talking about Catherine Knight, another Australian, and how she killed her boyfriend and skinned him in one piece.
And then tried, went to feed his body to his kids.
Yeah, she had like their names next to the plates.
The placards next
to,
yeah.
Yeah, that's fucked up. So that was a good one. So this time, dude, you suggested this chick, Barbara Opal, man. Wow.
Yeah, when I first found this story, I'm like, this is fucking insane.
It is.
And actually, I was looking for something to listen to on audiobook shit, and I happened to come across that, saw the title of the book.
Right.
And I was like, what the fuck's this about? And I was like, oh, shit, all right. So fucking A, dude. You know we got to throw it in there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So it's definitely a good one. You've come up with some great ones. Another one, we haven't done it yet, was that fucking dude in New Orleans that jumped off that building.
Oh, yeah. Killed his girlfriend and shit. And had
the note in his pocket that said to go to his apartment, and his girlfriend was in fucking the oven and on the fucking stove.
What the fuck was that shit's name?
I got the book. Yeah, it's fucking... Whoa. So you have had made some great fucking suggestions, and this chick is by far my top one, only because this is such
a fucked up story, dude.
It is, dude. I mean, goddamn, you know, we talk about Mother's Day, obviously, in normal conversation as like a day of remembering how great your mom was or is. And it's just awesome. And then we, of course, flip that shit around. Right.
This is what Mother's Day is like for some people.
Crazy bitches, for sure. Because there's a chick rotting in a jail cell.
Right.
That's probably like wishing she was with mommy on Mother's Day.
Yep.
Even though mom put her in the fucking
And mom's
joint.
Still sitting in jail.
Yeah. So it's an interesting story. And the thing that I think adds to it is that they went out to breakfast at Denny's after they were done. Yeah. I mean... Wow.
Fuck yeah.
Go. That's pretty fucked up. So it's going to be a good one. Now we got our buddy CK calling in on Skype tonight. And what's he going to be talking about, dude?
Some female fronted bands. Because it's Mother's Day. Might as well have even full female bands is cool and shit.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, female fronted bands. Mother's Day. Makes sense.
Exactly. He's got, he was saying he's got the arch enemy, of course, is the obvious. And then, he was talking about some different ones than I had for the bumper music. So,
because
the bumper music's all female band, singer bands, metal, of course, different types of metal. We got some like extreme, and then we got some mainstream metal, and then, you know, just everywhere from thrash. Poker Face is fucking killer, man, from Russia. And that chick is badass as a singer, and the band is good. I mean, they're. Throw fucking down.
Fucking A,
so,
dude. Yeah, you sent me that one time. I was like, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, they're really good. So, no shortage of good metal here tonight. Just saluting the ladies out there in a few different ways tonight. So it should be fun. Also, he's got some new releases. The new Possessed is fucking ridiculous, man. Every song on that fucking album absolutely fucking kills it, man. It's amazing. So definitely going to talk about that. And some other stuff that's out now. So it's going to be really great. Got, of course, a new Killer Cage match. And this time we're doing it and mixing it up a little bit. Again, with the Mother's Day
episode. We got
all chicks going at it. And we got a tag team
again.
So, so who do we got going up against each other in this one, dude?
We got Eileen Wuornos and Lizzie Borden.
Nice.
Who they got, Cashman? Who they
going? They're going up against Catherine Knight and Bella Gionis.
Yes.
Nice. That's going to be an interesting one because
we know
all
the
of those chicks are fucked up. Yeah. And so thanks to listeners Dan Maxleiter Steinlich.
What's up, Dan Maxleiter, bro?
And Pete Durst Saradovich.
Yeah, that's my boy.
That's our boy. And Tommy Davis for the random numbers. For the objects they'll be fighting with. And after we just said that, I think I'm going to be fighting with an object when Pete comes here to beat my ass.
Right.
Dan, I'm not too worried about. I think I can hold my own, or at least I get killed.
Well, you hear that, Dan? He's calling you out, bro.
Dan likes me too much.
I know, right?
And Pete does too, but the Durst thing has been a funny thing with us for a while. Anyway. So we've got some good objects and then a great variable that's pretty
fucking
funny.
Ridiculous.
It's side of an
inside
joke.
It's something we're going to have to explain to you once we get there.
It's one of those people that when you hear us explain it, everybody knows this dude.
Everybody knows a guy like this.
This is exactly. It's one of those staples if you know, are around kids in the 90s, early 2000s. Yeah. So. We're also rolling out a new bit on the podcast that we came up with. It's going to be called Interview with a Serial Killer.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do, it's not what you think. What we're going to do is we're going to interview people with the same name as a serial killer. and then see how pissed off they get when we ask them questions
about the random stuff that they did and the crimes. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so it should be pretty funny. We'll let you check out the very first one we did this week. We interviewed a man by the name of Henry Lee Lucas. So this should be fun.
It's a good interview. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Big thanks to our sponsor, man, Psycho Killer Bobbleheads. Chris, we got some out here tonight.
What's up, got Psycho Killer? We still got Dorothea Puentes standing right here, freaking looking all pissed off.
Joey, who do you got over there, man?
I got Mr. Dennis Rader.
Nice.
Yeah.
Little BTK. BTK. Yep. He's got a briefcase, doesn't he?
He's got a cross in one hand and a knife in the other.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, which way is he going to go?
Yin and yang thing. Yeah. Total fucking hypocrite, which is pretty typical.
Fucking yes. Right, yeah.
So, yeah, so that's a good one. And then, Chris, you got the Dahmer still
Dahmer
here.
Got Dahmer sitting here.
I got the Gacy PDM contractor, which I love. I mean, that is just such a nice touch. I mean, anybody could do a bobblehead of Gacy, but he's got the scruff, the belly with the fucking
with PDM. With the contractor shirt on.
It's
fuck
just
yeah,
good
dude.
Stuff. I'm the wife beater at that, so. So, yeah, psychokillerbobbleheads.com. You get a bobblehead of one of these. They got 16 of them. Got Father's Day coming up, Chris. I'm sure Pawback would probably love some of that shit.
Oh, man, you know Dad would freaking definitely take a Ramirez. Hail Satan.
Or an Anton LaVey. maybe Eileen Wuornos in a dominatrix outfit would be fitting.
He takes that one in the truck with him over the road.
Oh, shit. Damn, and a whole box of Kleenexes.
Right, right.
So get the whole set of 16 for a great deal. Super nice quality. They actually look like the people, and the detail is just really awesome.
Super excellent.
So, yeah, that's good stuff. Another last-minute sponsor. Do we get a lot of these last-minute ones? Green River Rafting Tours. Sounds like a fun trip. You want to take the family on one of those?
I love kayaking. Dude. Yeah.
Sounds like the place to be. So check out that commercial. And book a Dead Hookers tour today. So that sounds like a good time.
Fucking A, it does.
Another Mother's Day related thing to talk about, Dead Hookers.
Dead Hookers.
Also tell, or thanks to all you guys listening out there. Man, we are just fucking killing it, Chris. I mean, fucking Jesus Christ. 1,000 listens on average for each new episode, and somewhere between 700 and 900 a week spread out over the other podcasts. This week we were up about 400 from that.
Boom.
And a big reason, man, that Chris Benoit episode 53, I think, 1,200 listens, man, and still climbing. People are listening to it, which is fucking great. So everybody out there that maybe is into wrestling, that listened to it because of that, maybe digging on some true crime. So fucking we appreciate
thank
it.
You.
So we thank you guys for listening. And it is just awesome. We're always humbled by you guys listening in the numbers. I mean, we started out with 20 and 30 listens on an episode, and now we're getting into 1,000 in a
That's
year.
Awesome.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Not
man.
Too bad.
And it's all DIY, ourselves here, just doing our thing. And it'd be nice if we had a fucking team of people fucking pushing
it'd
this
be a
shit
whole lot better.
Because there'd be a lot more going on. But, you know, we do the best we can. So, again, we appreciate it, guys. So, Joey, Chris, we got a full fucking plate tonight. Going to be a good one.
Fuck yeah. Let's get what fucking murder on.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And we're all running scared. Watches to watches. And doors to doors.
Fucking A.
Arch enemy, man.
Wow. Blood in the water. Fuck.
Fucking arch enemy. Get
that is
it.
A fucking
still.
Female singer, dude. If you're not familiar with that band, that was a chick, and that was fucking badass, man.
Always badass.
Wow.
Even, with,
mean,
the, even with the list of coming. Hell yeah.
I mean, just amazing. And then the guitar player, Amat, who was in Carcass, I mean, that dude's fucking ridiculous. I mean, unbelievably talented. So that's pretty impressive with that band. So we're talking some murder here on Mother's Day. So
yes, we are. Mother's Day murder.
That's right. Now we're doing the feature, as we said, on Barbara Opal, who was a straight up fucking psycho bitch. I mean,
she had fucking issues for real.
And perfect for an episode like this. Convicted of paying her 13-year-old daughter with a dirt bike, by the way.
Yeah, that was the plan.
And her friends to beat a man to death and stab him in 2001. And they used baseball bats for that. I like not the just, touch with the souvenir bats.
Yeah, I was going to say, not one, just regular baseball. Regular, one regular bat, but yeah.
And then two souvenir bats like you get from the ballpark. Seattle Mariner bats. Nice plug for the team there.
Right.
Yeah. Like the fucking... the aluminum bat killer and then the mini bat killers.
Yeah.
Like, so right. You read, they're like, mini bat killer, this guy, you know.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, and it's crazy to think how much influence this fucking bitch had on the kids and then their kids. Friends.
It's so fucked up.
It's how very they, fucking how disturbing.
They let her influence them that much, dude.
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
ridiculous.
She really was very, very almost cult-like to them. And to this day, her daughter, Heather, who is still in prison, thinks highly of her mother, who put her there. So, pretty fucked up. Hard to even imagine somebody feeling that way.
I couldn't even imagine trying to do that to my kid.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this guy needs to die. I'm going to...
Yeah.
My youngest daughter just turned 10. I'm going to pick her.
Yeah, I mean, it's just terrible. And the girl had so much promise, too, which is just awful.
She's really good in school, fucking sports and shit.
Yeah. Now, Barbara, she was born in 1963, and I didn't see much about her childhood, nothing remarkable that I ever read, even in the book. At least where I looked, I didn't see anything. Now, she gets married to Bill Opal. What a lucky guy. In her early 20s, they have their first daughter, Heather, who's the one we were talking about, in 1987, and they settle in Everett, Washington, which I saw was about 25 miles north of Seattle. So pretty nice country up there, I'm sure. Now,
to throw bodies.
Yeah. Plenty of places to stash a fucking body.
I mean, not too far from the Green River itself.
That's
not,
right.
Not at all.
It's fucked
not
up.
Not at all.
How many of these fucking things are up there? Because I just ordered a book that I got the other day on Jesperson, and his first murder was in Washington.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God damn, what
Washington,
the fuck?
The land of grunge music, heroin, and murder.
I guess. Now, she's known to her neighbors as a fucking loudmouth, constantly screaming at her infant daughter.
Screaming at all the kids, like
husband,
all the time, dude.
Bill, I mean, Jesus. And these were multiple neighbors in multiple places because they were constantly getting evicted, kicked out, fucking
having
just
to stay in hotels and
playing,
shit.
You know, yeah, hotels, fucking people's fucking living rooms, you know, whatever they could do. And that's just a shitty way to fucking live. And
I think they said they moved like 20 something times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was like 27 times in like a couple years or some shit.
Right. And that's what, that's what these kids were growing up into. Now, Child Protective Services apparently gets called to investigate a neighbor's claim that she could hear the baby being slapped and Barbara's screaming and escalating in violence.
Yeah, I'd probably
pretty
call the cops. I'd either call the cops or go over there and beat a bitch's ass.
Now, they said that Child Protective Services, the baby was fine, not in danger after they paid a visit. But I don't know. I mean, that's kind of crazy to even think. But agencies like that seem to not act sometime on legit stuff. But then
and
go fucking nuts.
Overreact on something that's nothing. And that's true. That's facts.
Yeah. I mean, I've known plenty of people over the many years I've been, just even here
right,
in
just
Illinois.
Had to deal with it.
And hearing from different people I've known, it's like, wow, that's just some crazy shit. And I'm not saying all those people that do that are bad, obviously.
No, not at all.
It's a system. It's fucking broken. These people are so overworked with like dozens and dozens of cases, they can't possibly do what they probably need to be doing. And you would think if they would have dug a little deeper, they might have found some,
I'm sure,
at least grounds to get the kids out of there for a while, figure out what the fuck was going on. But who knows? You got somebody reading it out of a book, and if it doesn't say exactly this, you can't do anything. So there's not much in the way of like
it's the
thinking
line of
on the fly and going with the situation. It's just black and white. It's either this or that. And if she didn't fit the check boxes enough,
then you're then clear to go.
They couldn't do anything. Yeah. That's what I'm guessing. Now, the household was just a fucking train wreck. Claims from both Bill and Barbara of physical abuse on each other. She claims that Bill made Heather drink Tabasco sauce as punishment for not going to the bathroom when she was told and hit the girl with a frying pan. So that's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
But it's coming from Barbara, so who the fuck knows, you know what I mean?
Yeah, she's a mental case. So.
Yeah, so hard to say. Heather was in some form of counseling starting at age 5, so, you know, obviously was needed. Very violent household, lots of screaming and yelling, apparent physical abuse. They did have another child, Derek, but the youngest, Tiffany, was not Bill's. It was somebody else who we talk about here in a little bit. Bill and Barbara got divorced in 91. She got a restraining order against him. But I'd read that he did pay the child support.
Like, yeah, he was pretty diligent about it.
He tried. Like, you know, he said he kept trying. And 7 years of putting up with that shit. And then she just wasn't going to let him see him. And, I mean, eventually he just gave up. I mean, what could he do, you know?
And that shit sucks.
It's shitty.
I know lots of people like that. They're paying their child support or whatever.
Right.
And still, no, you can't see your kid. And it's bullshit.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, I know we're talking about Mother's Day here. And, you know, I think just as, you know, important. And, of course, we got Father's Day coming up. But, you know, the dads out there like Meister would be a great example. A single dad raising kids. I mean,
boom.
That's a lot of fucking work. And, you know, also giving props to those guys as well, having to play both roles. Not easy, I'm sure. Just like, you know, obviously women in that situation, it sucks. It's got to be difficult. But we don't know. I mean, in that type of thing, you get people saying that each other did this. But with Barbara's fucking obvious like psychosis, I mean, God only knows what the fuck really happened. We don't know. He does put up with it for 7 years and gives up. She was charged with custodial interference in 97, but they felt there was a low probability for conviction and they dropped it. So I don't know, man.
Who knows, dude?
Another one of those, if it didn't fit the, you know, whatever the
criteria, fucking, yeah,
then they're not like, going to prosecute. You know, it's fucked up. Bill winds up getting married, moves to another town in Washington to start his life over, but he continued to pay support. So
without seeing his kids.
Right.
Good man.
So, I mean, give it up for that dude. I mean, he tried, but it's awful, the outcome. Now, court records show Barbara left the kids at home by themselves, even as toddlers. She said she found Derek outside when he wasn't supposed to be and dragged him in by his hair. That's fucked up. Managed to figure out, you know, Heather, you know, figured out very quickly the best way to avoid, you know, her mom going nuts was to just fucking
obey every last word she said. And she took it all the way to there.
Yeah, she for sure did.
Yeah.
But she was just trying to just get along and just keep her mother chilled out. She was extremely bright.
Did great. Like I said earlier, did great in school.
Yeah. I mean, it's just terrible. In that situation, you know, to try to flourish. I mean, it's just awful. You, like you said, Joey, moving 22 fucking times. I mean, goddamn.
Well, then you think about like Munchausen by proxy.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's with just somebody who maybe is like captured by somebody, you know, they use that to survive in that situation. If it's your mother, a parent or something like that, I mean, that's got to be intensified. She said that she learned how to stay away from her mother's wrath. At the same time, she never stopped loving her.
Gypsy Rose story.
Yeah, so it's because that form of psychosis, comparatively with strangers, is one thing. But God, you put somebody who's related.
Especially a mother daughter. I mean, that's a pretty strong fucking bond. That's a huge bond, naturally.
Yeah. Yeah. So the insane shit that she could get her to do just because she felt like she had to,
right,
to appeal to this woman who she loved. You know,
yeah, so it's fucking awful, man. So this is just an extremely dysfunctional situation at best. Barbara was offered counseling multiple times by Child Protective Services, but refused it. And it's obvious, you know, she's got some serious.
She just didn't feel like it. But
Yeah, she just didn't want to deal with it and probably figured...
Don't tell me what to do, bitch.
They said whenever the Child Protective Service got involved too, like, obvious recommendations to the family was for counseling and therapy.
Right.
For all of that, which they never showed up to any of it.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Now, it's really a shame that the home situation was so bad for the kids. You know, the mother's fucking raging. Heather especially, like we said, very gifted. Softball, basketball as well. Tremendous athlete. Right. Amazing in such an unstable home that she was able to still do that. Which
they
is
said
very
that
rare.
When she was like in the book and everything that is, they like the neighbors and people, the sporting men said like, if they didn't, the girl Heather did anything wrong, she's there like screaming at her the entire time,
yeah,
and like in front of everybody, like just treating her like shit,
yeah,
the whole time.
That's got to be fucking awful, to say the least. To embarrass her in front of her friends. And it's just, it's just like a powder keg with this fucking situation. You know, and it's just amazing, you know, again, being so rare to come from that background and still excel like she did, because every teacher, every student just said she was just really
like awesome.
Really awesome.
All her grades are A's and B's, and that's crazy because she was never in a stable school
environment. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
when you're jumping school to school like that, let alone home to home.
Right. I mean, it's just incredible. So it's so sad how this ends up. So in 2001, the Everett police get a call from a woman who claimed her husband, Henry Goudeau, was approached by Barbara. Now, this is getting to be like a Springer moment here.
Yeah,
okay?
This is the youngest daughter's father.
Right. So Tiffany, the youngest one of Barbara's kids that we said wasn't Bill Opal's, Tiffany is Henry Goudeau's child. So they have a kid together. So Barbara contacts him. She asks him to poison this dude she's working for, Jerry Hyman. Now, that word Hyman is going to be like,
I know the
haunting
word Hyman, dude.
So just want to get it out of the way.
It's
now,
not
guys.
Spelled the same way either.
Right. So. We can laugh and we'll probably snicker as we go through this, but it's the elephant in the room. The dude's name is Hyman.
Yeah, Jerry Hyman.
Jerry Hyman. So at least his nickname, or maybe his nickname is Busta.
Busta. Yeah.
So she said that her husband cheated on her with Barbara. And looking at Barbara, that's rough. After spending the night drinking, so that might have been the reason, Barbara asked him to kill Jerry and promised to pay him out of money Jerry had coming in from life insurance. Police went to the Hyman house. The House of Hyman.
House of Hyman.
But no one answered
that
the
like
door.
A fucking fun place.
Yeah.
Dude.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good name for a strip club, man.
Right, but there's definitely no Hymans in that motherfucker.
There's definitely no Hymans in that motherfucker.
No Hymans in that motherfucker.
Oh, for fuck's sake. It was against their policy to break into a home solely on a phone complaint. So no one's answering the door. They just say, fuck it, and they leave. All right? Again, showing the dysfunction
of
these people
work,
that are supposed to be there to help, the Child Protective Services, the police. Again, not saying these people aren't, you know, they're obviously all not bad, not saying that at all. Unfortunately, some of them are, and that's when the fucked up shit really goes on.
Yeah, I mean, you get a call like that, fucking, you should probably do a little more investigation.
Right.
Just knocking on a fucking door.
But what I'm, you know, what I was saying earlier too, and I think is the same with this, it's that procedure thing, you know, that's because if they did more, then they liability wise, either personally or the city or the department would be liable if, let's say, you did open the door and wound up fucking shooting some dude or something like that, you know, that went on.
I got you.
You have to be like extra fucking careful. So it could be that. I don't know. But, you know, it's, I think that's the dysfunction of these government run departments that are just bloated, you know, paying the, you know, people at the very top, you know, well, and then the people at the bottom like shit. And
they just like, well,
just all this red tape and these, yeah, they just have the fucking attitude. So. Now, I know in a lot of the cases we talk about here, there were misses like this by the cops, you know, but it is easier to say that after the fact, you know. Well, they didn't know
they could have done that. They could have done, you know, and like you said, after the fact is a little different. Yeah. But still,
some of this stuff seems kind of like, really, dude. So we don't know. You know, we talk about the high profile ones. You know, we've talked Stephen Avery,
the West Memphis guy.
Yeah, that was really bad. Where cops obviously don't follow the rules and put the wrong people behind bars, which is awful. And those cases are just so glaringly ridiculous. And we all know that this shit goes on way beyond what we know of. And I'm sure in some cases a lesser degree of it, but it doesn't take much to fuck somebody's life completely up because somebody wants to put some numbers on their fucking graph that shows they've arrested more people, solved more crimes, like, when it's bullshit, you know. So, and it's just an abuse of power that just shouldn't be fucking tolerated. Now, many hours later, when the family members discovered this fucking horrific fucking scene, Jerry's in his 60s, had terminal cancer. He decided to not have his own treatment so he could focus on his mom, who was 89 years old, Evelyn, and suffering from Alzheimer's. So my grandmother had that, and it was the worst. I mean,
Alzheimer's?
It's bad.
Yeah, no, it's,
I mean,
pretty fucking bad. I've seen it.
They put her in a home, and she was, you know, like, didn't, like, barely knew who anybody was when she went into the home. So she went in there like that right at the get-go and lived 20 years in there because she was in perfect physical health.
Just couldn't remember.
She was just had dementia. She didn't know. Yeah, I was in the Army at the time, and I had gotten leave to come home to see her because my dad's like, you need to get over here because, like, she doesn't know, like, a lot of things. And when I got there, she was like, who are you? What are you doing here? It was, like, really fucked up.
Yeah, that'd be fucking rough, dude.
Yeah, my dad was the only one that could, and he didn't like it either, but that would go and check on her periodically. Nobody else. It was too fucked up, yeah.
Right, yeah.
So it's a terrible disease, that's for sure. She was confined to a wheelchair and had advanced dementia. She had no idea, you know, who he was. I mean, it's just terrible.
Right.
She was just really out of it, and it's a very unfortunate. So
Barb is supposed to be taking care of this woman, like,
he's got his own treatment to do, but he's spending it to make sure his mom's all right, man. That's pretty fucking admirable.
Yeah.
Most people would not do that. So,
he got his kid. Then his son found him, and they hadn't seen each other in, like, what, 5 years?
Yeah, because he was in Arkansas, so he pays to fly him and his wife,
family out there.
Yeah,
fucking.
He's supposed to pick him up at the airport.
Doesn't show up at the fucking airport forever. Finally,
and the kid's like, this isn't like dad. You know, he wouldn't do this. You know, very responsible guy. They're trying to call. Nobody's fucking answering the phone.
Nobody's answering the door when they're knocking on the door when they get there.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fucked up situation.
So they wind up taking a cab. You know, they find the house pretty much empty. Furniture's gone. Now, his office at the home was all trashed, papers all over the place.
Personal papers.
Yeah, so they knew something was up, like, not good. He wouldn't have left it like that. He was a very meticulous guy. And this just wasn't the way he was. And Gregory, his son, knew something's fucked up here. Then they discover the grandmother, who was just sitting in her wheelchair her. Eating paper.
Yeah, she's like eating strips of newspaper.
Yeah,
eating strips of newspaper.
And just totally, you know, soiled. I mean, just awful. Thankfully, the Gregory's wife is a nurse.
So she was able
to kind of get things moving.
Yeah, her diaper was all just like you said, super soiled. And
yeah, I mean,
super dehydrated. She said
days or
said that she was like so dehydrated.
Like 4 days.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, it said that she was so dehydrated that she was basically having a slow heart attack.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like,
her lips were, like, totally cracked.
Yeah.
I mean, really bad.
And just left this poor lady in sitting in her wheelchair after witnessing her son being murdered and
right.
shit.
Yeah, so really, really bad. And later they would find, you talk about the wheelchair, Chris, they would find blood spatter on the wheelchair.
On the wheelchair, yeah. That was
so she was literally right there when this shit was going down. Which is just unbelievable. Now, Gregory said his dad had told him that there had been issues with Barbara stealing and playing games with checks and shit.
Yeah,
that was her. That was her game, was writing checks in his name or from his accounts. So apparently he had some issues with her, but who would have thought, you know, it would have gotten to this point? I don't think anybody would.
Yeah, I don't know.
And apparently he met Barbara at a Dairy Queen, and I guess she gave him her sob story and about that she's got the three kids
and nowhere to live and everything. So he had her move into his house to take care of his mom.
Yeah, he, you know, he's got a basement that's finished in this rental house he had for the mom and so him and his mom. So yeah, he lets the woman and her three kids. I mean, that's how many people are going to do that, right? So this guy was extremely generous.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, to a fault, especially in this case.
A major fault.
It's just shitty that people have to be like that. Guy's literally opening his door to these fucking people.
Helping you.
Yeah, when you need and you're going to do help. Some shit.
Which the thing is like, he's also sick too.
Right.
So,
yeah.
The thought that in his mind is he's going to help these people, of course, but he's getting the help that he needs with his mom too. So she's like just completely taking advantage of both of them.
Both, 100% both of them.
Just treacherous.
Yeah, it is. It's fucking insane, man. The treacherous is a good fucking word for it. Now,
it's probably, I mean, I don't know because we don't have a, you know, a visual timeline or anything, but I'd imagine it's got to be one of the nicer places that her kids had been in.
I bet. Like everything in the book, There's some nasty coachman-style shit.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, it's amazing, too, his ex-wives, because he had been married a few times, every one of them said he was the nicest guy. They were, like, friends. Yeah.
Yeah, he was friends with all of his ex-wives, and he even remarried one of them.
Yeah.
They weren't married at this moment, but they got married twice or whatever.
So, I mean,
which is kind of odd.
It's just very, I mean, it just, you seldom see somebody that well-liked by that many different people, especially an ex-wife.
Exactly.
You know? So that, you know, again, is a testament to how generous and nice this guy really seemed to be. But, you know, he liked going to the bars. He wasn't good at staying married, which is why he got married so many times. But whatever. I mean, that was his thing. And apparently the ex-wives were cool with the situation. So Gregory and his wife, you know, they called everywhere looking for him. No luck. Of course, fearing the worst. Cops were called, and of course, immediately things point to Barbara because of the neighbor complaints, and they knew who this bitch was for sure. Not that big of a town.
And then, like, shortly after he disappeared, they got that U-Haul truck using his credit card.
Right.
And she didn't even have a valid driver's license doing it. She just, like, called and said that.
It's one of the teenagers wound up driving it, I think.
I believe so, yeah.
And the neighbors saw the U-Haul out there, and they were like, what's up with that? But they thought he was moving to Arkansas to be with the son. So that's kind of what the story was. And so it was somewhat believable that they'd be moving.
It's like, well, something's fucked up.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was just Joey's word treacherous just keeps... Because that's some fucking treacherous shit there. I mean, thinking it out like that, man. That's fucked up, you know? And so the police, while they're at the scene, they start to see some shit, right? They've the blood stains on the carpet. And they didn't clean up too well, Chris. Yeah,
I mean, you got a freaking 7-year-old and 11-year-old right, cleaning up true. Blood and brain matter. Yeah. Dude. I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, my freaking
I guess. See, I didn't think about that. That's like Alex cleaning up that stuff in a kitchen. I'm thinking
you're
not
right,
going to be the most thorough job.
No,
you know?
No.
Just I want to get the fuck out of here.
I mean, if you look at the if you look at this whole plot and plan by Barbara, you're obviously getting caught. In my mind, I mean,
oh no, you're definitely
you're
getting caught.
You're picking the worst squad of people to do your dirty work,
right? True.
The stuff that's going to be left behind, the evidence. I mean, these are kids that are just fucking dumb.
Right.
I don't know. Everything about it tells me that there's no way you're going to get away with it.
Right.
You're
no
but
way let's
you're
see you try.
But yeah, I want to see this play out.
I mean, for
what
some of the shit, she was really good at planning it out. But this is like, talking about fail. I mean, like a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old
like
is your cleanup crew.
Like, that's your cleanup
probably
crew.
Probably. And a teenager driving the fucking U-Haul.
Yeah.
Oh boy,
ain't gonna work out good.
Probably not. So apparently, the mops and the bleach didn't do a good job. So they're finding blood specks on the walls and the ceiling, and so of course they're like something. Yeah. A barber apparently knew that Jerry had like $30,000 in his bank account, and figured that with him dead, and the mother in late stages of dementia, she would just spend that money herself.
Spend the money.
Because I was having a hard time understanding, what is she gaining from this? I mean, the guy's dead. It's not like she's going to inherit anything.
Right. She's not. So what is she?
I couldn't understand it. But then when I saw that, I'm like, okay. So she's just going to keep writing checks. He's just gone.
Yeah.
And she's just going to blow through that money. So she killed the dude for 30 grand. I mean,
wish that shit's happened more than a few
times. Well, sure. Less for less money, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in the army with a guy. I'll tell you this quick one who, I'll just say his real name was Joe, but I'll just leave it there. Joe was in where I was when I got out on a medical. They call it medical hold, which means you can't do your real job. So you go to like the hospital,
right,
and people work like in the file room or whatever. So this guy was there, but he wasn't allowed to work anywhere. He was like in psychiatric care because he had a neighbor that would come over into his yard when he walked his dog, and he didn't like it, and he kept warning the guy to stop doing it, and he wouldn't stop. So Joe set up claymore mines out in his yard.
Like live ones?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
And fucking sat watch, like patrolling his yard, and the dude stepped over the line, and he fucking blew him up with a fucking claymore.
Damn. Yeah.
Are you fucking serious? Oh, yeah.
And when he got out, the day he got out, when he was, they were signing him out and taking him wherever they were going to take him out of there.
Right.
He was saying something to somebody about, man, when I get out of here, 10 grand, I'll kill any motherfucker anywhere in the United States. 10 grand plus expenses, he said.
God damn.
So when we're talking about 30 grand, yeah. Joe, yeah. A little cheaper option maybe. Yeah.
Right? No shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to set claymores up in your yard though, bro.
And before I found this out, or no, it was after I found this out. This is kind of dumb on my part, but it was kind of an interesting afternoon. Me and Joe went fishing out on this lake. He had a boat. It was just me and him on this boat like all day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I came back. So
at least you're still here. Fuck.
Yeah, it was very creepy. So, but yeah, he Christ. Likes telling that story about the Claymore Mines. But anyway, going back to our story here. So she begins to recruit a 17-year-old kid, Jeffrey Grote, allows him to have sex with the 13-year-old.
That's Heather. How he bribed her into it.
Yeah. I mean, she's letting him do it. She's letting him do it at the house. So
she's like having all these parties for all these kids, too.
His friends.
She let him stay there, too.
Right.
Yeah. Her and Heather.
At the house. Yeah. Just they had to stay. He couldn't be anywhere around where Jerry could notice that he was living there. And shit.
Right.
And like even before they started living with Jerry, like even at the hotel and shit, like having these parties for all these kids and shit. And like the baseball friends or whatever of Heather's, their parents didn't want them going to the hotel. Like if you want to spend the night with Heather, she's got to come here.
Right.
You're not going to the hotel.
Well, sure. I mean, who the fuck would want their kid going into some shit like that? You know?
No.
So these kids, you know, I mean, it's just unbelievable what she convinces them to do. So Jeffrey and two friends of his, plus Heather and one of her friends, are basically convinced to kill Jerry Hyman.
That's the hit squad.
Yeah. Barbara tells him that Jerry's been mean to Heather, saying some nasty stuff.
So he gets drunk all the time, and then he'll start cussing at her, and he gets mad because that ain't what I said to fix for dinner tonight or shit.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, it's pretty trivial shit, but she kind of whips them up, and they get all fired up about it. She offers them a little bit of money, but very little. For Heather, she was going to do it for a dirt bike.
She was stoked on that.
Yeah, she was fucking stoked. And at that age, I mean, you got no conception of worth and money and stuff. No. So to her, a dirt bike was pretty fucking awesome.
And Jerry was going to get like a new car or some shit like that, right?
Yeah, she was going to buy
him. Not Jerry, but Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, right. But she was smart about recruiting kids from troubled homes with little parental supervision, which are the kids that kind of slip through the cracks and are more vulnerable to this kind of stuff.
Yes, sir.
The plan was to surprise Jerry in the house and hit him with the baseball bats. Now, Jeffrey's like got a large aluminum baseball bat. I mean, the real thing.
Real baseball bat. And like we said, the other kids got the little freaking souvenir bats from the ballpark.
But dude, you could fuck somebody up with that.
You can get a good swing with one of them motherfuckers. Yeah. It's like a fucking nightstick.
Billy
stick,
club,
dude.
Yeah. I mean,
they were whacking him in the face with it.
Yeah. Dude, I wouldn't want to get hit with that bitch.
No. I mean, let alone the fucking 32-inch fucking aluminum bat. You know, that's fucking harsh. So the three boys surprise him, beat him repeatedly, while Heather and her friend are stabbing him over and over again with the kitchen knives. So what the fuck?
Yes.
I never saw, I don't know if it said in the book, did they bring the kitchen knives or they grab them from
No,
that?
They got them from the kitchen.
They were from that his kitchen.
Yeah, they were from the kitchen. Though.
Yeah, as far as I can remember, yeah. Now, they did this right in front of the 89-year-old mother, who, again, has dementia. She doesn't know what's up. But she's covered in blood spatter. The blood spatter's on her fucking wheelchair. I mean, Jesus. The walls, the floors, the fucking ceiling brains, everywhere. Blood. I mean, pretty
like,
fucking
these
gruesome.
These kids beat the fuck out of this guy. Yeah. Like, legit. Yeah, they were even like, hit him one more time just to make sure. Fucking like.
Yeah, because Barbara is in the basement screaming up to the fucking stairs, like firing him up.
Yeah,
like
go
fucking,
get him. Yeah.
Yeah, like a cheerleader. And telling him what to do, like you said, Chris, hit him again, make sure he's dead, and all this shit.
With her two youngest kids.
Yeah, the two youngest are down there hearing that shit with fucking all hell breaking loose upstairs. I mean, my God. True motherly fucking mother of the year award winner here. Jesus.
Having the fucking, like we said, having the girls, or the two youngest ones go fucking
Derek
clean
and
it.
Tiffany cleaning up the fucking mess behind, so that's just fucked up. And she had the boys get the body out of the house and packed up as much furniture as they could fit in the U-Haul
and drove out,
and they took off. Now this fucked up bitch even went to fucking Denny's with Jerry's money,
took all the kids, and they were talking about it while they're sitting in Denny's too.
I mean, that's fucked up. One of the kids, I think it was Heather's friend in the book, I seem to remember that's who they were, from her viewpoint, was like sickened by, like she couldn't eat. Like it freaked her out that the rest of them were just laughing about it.
Showing up.
And eating food.
Eating
like
that moon's
they
over
were
my
starving.
Ham.
Yeah, the moon's over my hammy and thinking, don't sound real good after you've just done that. You know,
right.
Beat somebody to death with baseball bats and stabbed them with knives. Pretty fucking insane. So I don't know how the fuck, somebody could just do that and then go eat like nothing happened. So later the cops are speaking with Jerry's cousin, Kenny, and found out that he had told Kenny that he thought Barbara was trying to poison him, which of course later they find out is actually true. Right. She was trying to
She's putting Roundup on their food.
The Roundup. Yeah, that was
Roundup
fucked up.
On their
just
food,
got him sick, but it didn't do much more than that. So that's when she goes to plan B, which apparently was the baseball bats and chicken kitchen knives.
Dude, if the plan B for pregnancy was a baseball bat, that would work.
Right, yes.
Oh, damn.
I know that was rude, but ooh. Damn it, plan B. I couldn't help it.
Anti-Mother's Day.
Right? Yeah, anti-Mother's Day.
Anti-Mother's Day.
So these cops easily find the U-Haul with Barbara and the kids. I mean, this is like a small town like Pontiac.
Yeah.
I mean, like you're not going to find a U-Haul at a motel and some skanky motel at that in Pontiac.
Yeah,
you know, the equivalent of Pontiac.
Yeah.
So kind of ridiculous. And they start talking to these kids and they're all spilling the fucking beans. I mean, they don't know what's going on. You know, they're like, they were up there doing,
beating
him to
whatever.
Death, you know. Because that Derek, man, he fucking shows him where the bat was thrown. I mean, he turns the whole fucking thing on its ear, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he was really the one that put the nail in the coffin because he showed him where the bat was.
And he didn't, like, let up on what he was saying.
No. Either. And he told him, hey, I helped clean up. Tiffany helped clean up. But we didn't do anything upstairs. That was going on up there.
That was downstairs with Mom. She was hiding out too.
Yeah. So this autopsy, this is where you really get a feeling for how fucked
about
up.
What these kids did to him.
Yeah, because the damage they did is unfucking believable. Official count of injuries was 47. Blunt force injuries from baseball bats were numerous. Bruises, contusions, scratches, scrapes, lacerations. Most of these on his head, face, and neck.
Didn't one of them say it was like he broke his neck right at the bottom, like right where it meets the spine or whatever? I'm pretty sure.
I think so. Pretty brutal. Some really nasty fucking injuries. The stab wounds, though, amazingly missed vital organs, but there were many of those in his chest and abdomen.
That's because they're goddamn 13 years old. They don't know where to stick the fucking blade. True. Jesus Christ.
True. So the official cause of death was lacerations of his brain due to the blunt force injuries to his head.
Yeah, because it shattered his skull. Yeah. Like I said, that was brain matter that these little
spraying
kids were,
up everywhere and splashing up is awful. They tried to cover up Jerry's identity by pouring hydrochloric acid on his face, which is fucking ridiculous.
that had to have been her idea.
Didn't do much. Yeah. Just going to melt it off, you know.
Just go to fucking Lowe's real quick. Get some fucking muriatic acid or hydrochloric acid and just dump it on there.
So she didn't watch true crime. I don't think she watched true crime shows because she would have realized she was all fucking dicked up. And they had him back in 2001, so I don't know what the hell she was thinking. She should have watched some of those. Tons of evidence, as well as the confessions from every kid, including her own.
She actually has her own confession. Yeah.
I mean, it was just crazy. Not difficult to convict this fucking psychotic bitch, Barbara Opel, on this case of orchestrating the murder of Jerry Hyman.
And she tried putting it all on Jeffrey, I can't remember. Yeah, Groat. She tried blaming it all on him, saying it was all him. I had nothing to do with it.
Right.
She really tried that.
Yeah. Well, most of them do. Like the Pamela Smart thing was the same way. She was like, oh, you know, he did that on his own. I didn't tell him to do that. You know, it's like, no, I don't fucking think so. You know, you're very influential. Yeah. Same thing there. You know, and the relationship thing, like Joey was saying earlier, makes it even that much more fucked up. So very, very crazy shit. So she gets found guilty, of course, sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. She almost got the death penalty, but they couldn't.
Yeah, they had
it wasn't
to have
unanimous.
100% unanimous. Right. So she got, like you said, life without parole.
Right.
But yeah, it had to be a unanimous decision.
Right. Now, she did petition the court to write to her daughter, Heather, but it was denied since originally she was forbidden to have any contact with Heather or any of her kids or any of Jerry's family.
Yeah, like any of her kids, any of the other kids involved, any of anything, yeah.
So the state of Washington actually went so far as to send Barbara to New Hampshire to keep her away because apparently there was only one maximum security women's prison in Washington, so they would have all had to have been in the same prison, and
New
they didn't
Hampshire
want that.
Is such a long ways. It is, like, man. There's no chance you guys are getting back. You're on the opposite end of the country right now.
Big time, big time. So she's in New Hampshire. She's trying to write to her daughter, but they say no way. And so they do these, you know, prison exchange things, like we talked about with Pamela Smart doing that from New Hampshire to New York. Now, Heather pled guilty to second-degree murder, got 22 years in prison as an adult. So, man, fucking 14
years
old.
Tried as an adult.
That's fucked.
Dude.
22 years. So she had to serve it all. To this day, she defends Barbara, as we said, devoted. You know, Mother's Day, we're talking about it. But, man, you got to think she's fucking thinking about that fucking crazy bitch.
That
screaming
bitch
in the fucking basement, telling
Kill
her
him.
To keep beating
Just keep
the
going.
Dude. Wow.
One of, I can't remember whose attorney. I don't know if it was Barbara's or Heather's. I think it was Heather's, though. One of her attorneys also worked on the Green River case as an attorney.
Oh, did he for real?
Yeah. And it might have been a female. Man, I can't remember the exact details of this, but one of her attorneys, I want to say it might have been a female, but worked on the Green River case, but they tried adamantly with so many angles to try to get her tried as, you know, the juvenile.
They did too. And they
the state was just unflinching. They were she's going to be tried.
They tried so hard to get her tried as a juvenile. They did really.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it's definitely debatable, you know, that's fucked up. Heather's friend also got 22 years, and she pled
guilty.
Was
that Misty girl, right?
I believe that was her
She
name.
Wasn't even involved. She was involved in the cleanup and the disposal body because she was with She was pregnant, that 15-year-old girl that was pregnant.
There was the girl with her that I thought was stabbing with Heather. I thought there were two girls stabbing. And I think Heather was, whoever was doing the stabbing with Heather, I don't remember her name offhand.
All right. No, okay, yeah, I'm thinking of somebody
It could
else,
have been another friend there was that didn't other actually Misty do girl anything. There were five kids.
This shows how inane the plan is.
Right.
Yeah, because totally you just can't absurd. Even keep track of all these kids, and they're killing someone for it. Right.
Yeah,
for
there was that 15-year-old girl that was pregnant they picked up at the bowling alley. She just got in the freaking...
Oh, yeah.
She just got in the truck and ended up like...
Right.
There with here them. I am. How did
so
I get
she was
stuck
like out of it. Yeah, they didn't do anything with her. Jeffrey Grote got 50 years pleading guilty to first-degree murder. Of course, he was the one with the big bat. Two friends of his got 18 years. The younger of the two had to be fucking young because his name was like not available.
Yeah.
I mean, he had to serve time until he turned 21, so probably fucking 12, 13-year-old kid. I mean...
So the lesson is, what you use a regular size aluminum bat, you get 50 years. You use a mini bat, you get 18.
Yeah, that's a better deal, I guess. Wow.
It all depends on the size of weapon.
That's a good takeaway from that, Joey. Thanks. So, yeah, it's just a fucking awful situation. Now, the research for this episode was done with some articles I read in the Seattle Weekly newspaper. Some
YouTube videos.
Yeah, a couple of short YouTube videos. But primarily, we both read the same book, Mom Said Kill, by Burl Bearer. And there was actually a really good podcast, not very exciting, but then Nothing Else is Murder Metal Mayhem.
Nothing is Us.
So, but no, this one was real boring. It was like listening to NPR or something like that. But it was an interview with the author, Burl Bearer, and about the story, and much more in depth. It's actually a lot more info I picked up from listening to him talk about the story in the book, and pretty interesting stuff. It was out there. I can't remember the name of the podcast, but I just searched Barbara Opal and it came up. So check it out. It is a little dry, but the information is interesting. If you like that kind of stuff. Now, next time we're going to do something very different. We haven't touched this one yet, but we thought it would be an interesting one.
Yeah.
Rudolf Hess. And if you're not familiar with that piece of
dickhead Nazi.
He's a fucking Nazi piece of shit. And the second in command under Adolf Hitler. So a big, you know, higher up. Very interesting story, though, about him. A lot of conspiracy theories with this one. Because he takes this flight.
Body double.
Yeah, the story is there was a body double in the plane with him. He's flying to England like a secret mission. But then he jumps out of the plane.
He's supposed to crash the plane or whatever.
Yeah, the other guy, the body double, was supposed to crash the plane. So people would think he died in the crash and he would get away. It's very crazy. It ends up he gets put up on the Nuremberg trial. You know, that first batch of like 13 of them. And the ones that they didn't execute went to the same prison. And they were such a big prison, they had them all in different like cell blocks by themselves.
Yeah.
And he was the last one to die, did over 60 years. But then the question is, was it actually him
or
was it the
else?
Body double? And why would somebody put themselves through all that and not just say that it was me, but there's a reason? It's very interesting. And I'm looking very forward to that. I wrote a song when I was in Low 12 called Prisoner Number 7, which was his number. And it's about this. So we'll probably play some of that too. I think you guys will dig it. So it's a really interesting story. So the Nazi shit is not even something we're going to get into. We're just saying he was a Nazi because the Nazi stuff has absolutely nothing to do with the story. So it's a cool, interesting story. Could it be this? Could it be that? A lot of different takes on it. It's pretty neat. So I think you guys will dig that.
A lot of different stuff about what people think. It's a conspiracy theory episode,
guys. That's
right.
Kind of, yeah. But it's cool. I think I do, though. I don't know if you guys hear that familiar sound.
That 920?
The 920, maybe from Danbury. CK.
Chugga-chugga.
He's going to be coming in here. And what's he going to be doing, Joey?
Today he's going to be giving us a little bit of metal knowledge.
On the females.
Yeah, he's talking about the female vocalist, which is cool because he's expressed opinions on that before. So
yeah, so CK is going to get his fucking medal on, man. You know, honey, I got this flyer at work for Green River Rafting Tours. Sounds like fun. We should go with the kids this weekend. Since we've moved here, we haven't been out of the house much.
That does sound like fun. I heard something about the Green River on the news, but I don't know if it was those rafting trips. The kids would love that.
It said something about the Dead Hookers Tour as part of the trip, but that sounds weird. Maybe I read it wrong.
Go online and book your Green River rafting trip today and take the Dead Hookers Tour along the shores of the historic Green River in beautiful Washington State. Ask for the Ridgeway when you book your trip and we'll take extra good care of you. You'll never want to leave.
Yeah, man.
Old school Wardlock.
Old school, man. All We Are. Great song from back in the day. Got Joey Cashman still here with us. And we got our boy, CK. What's going on, dude?
Yo, what's up? What's going on?
We're fucking killing it over here, dude. Doing some murdering. Some Mother's Day murdering.
Fucking kill it every fucking week, bro.
Yeah, yeah, hell big yeah, time, dude. Man. It's in more ways than one, that's for sure. Yeah. So,
No pun intended. But...
Yeah, exactly, man.
Yeah, so fucking we're, Green River rafting, though.
Yeah, Green River rafting is nice. Nice vacation for the family, man.
Family vacation, yeah, yeah.
You know, you got Father's Day coming up. Dad loves to do that shit, you know.
Yeah.
The Dead Hooker Tour is worth the fucking trip. So anyway, so we're doing our Mother's Day special. So we've been doing all these female things like the feature on Barbara Opal, playing all the female singer metal for the bumper music. And so CK, obviously, you're the one that came up with the idea to do female fronted metal bands. So
we'll go through a couple. You know, I know in the 80s, if you remember, the band Bitch.
Oh, yeah.
And they were actually, believe it or not, they were the first band, the first actual band signed to Metal Blade.
I think that is, it's in that book, the Brian Slagle's book.
That's funny. Other than when he was doing those comps, they were the actual very first band he signed. I was never really into them.
Yeah, me either.
They're fronted by like a band. They're fronted by Betsy Bitch. You know, I believe they put out a couple albums. They did all right. They never went anywhere. They had also in the early 80s. You had Lee Aaron, another one from Canada. Another she fronted a metal band. You know, and that, those are the early days. And then eventually you had I know you had in the late 80s, early 90s, you had Warlock out of Germany. Doro Pesch, you know, she eventually left Warlock and became semi-successful as a solo artist. She's still I don't really dig her too much, but she's still putting out albums today. You know, she's she does all right in Europe.
Yeah, I was telling these guys back in my former band from Connecticut, we played a show with Warlock in Philadelphia, and they were at the height of their popularity, really, at that time, and they were fucking cool as hell. She was very nice. She was real short, I remember. You know, you just kind of kind of starstruck for a second because you'd see her on MTV at the time a lot.
Right, right.
And so then you see her there, and she was really nice, but she was real short. And they killed it, man. That place was packed. I couldn't fucking believe it. So it was pretty awesome to be a part of that. But, yeah, I'm not a big – that's not my kind of metal either, but I could appreciate – she's been doing this shit forever, man.
Yeah, I mean, she, you know, you got to give her credit. She's been doing it. She she's still doing it today. She doesn't sell out. But, you know, the couple bands that I'm into and Arch Enemy –
oh, Jesus.
Our Shining's been around forever, though.
We played a song earlier for Blood in the Water. We weren't sure, or I wasn't sure, if it was the new singer or
that's
not.
That's with Alyssa, pretty sure.
Yeah.
It's Alyssa. It's Alyssa.
That's what we thought.
But, I mean, originally, Arch Enemy, the first three albums had
Angela Gassner. Yeah, Angela.
Well, no.
Oh, not even Angela?
No, it was.
Oh, shit.
Johann Living. It was a guy. The first three albums were a guy.
Oh, I did not know that.
Angela did not. Her first album was the fourth album.
But they didn't really get popular until she was in the band, like mainstream wise.
Oh yeah, I mean, I didn't know anything about it. Well, I kind of knew who they were, but I knew they were fronted by a female. I saw them live like years ago. Once I saw them live, I was fucking hooked.
Yeah.
Once I saw her sing live, I was like, this chick could sing.
Angela was a beast, dude.
You know, she they re-recorded, they did an album called Roots of Evil. And what she did was she re-recorded the first songs of the first three albums. They're actually better with her singing it than the other guy.
Oh, wow. Now is Michael Amott in that band?
Michael Amott was he formed it with his brother. Originally.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
because he's from Carcass, of course, a Heartwork and the more technical Carcass albums.
Yeah, he left Carcass and formed Arch Enemy, and Mike Weed, who used to be in King Diamond, is also in Arch Enemy at this time as a second lead guitarist. So,
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. And a couple years ago, Angela left the band. She wanted to give up singing, and she actually still manages the band.
She's still part of the band like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
She manages. Obviously, they got
Angela White Glues.
Yeah, Angela from who used to be an Agonist.
The Agonist, yeah.
Another Canadian band. If I remember, she actually did more clean singing in The Agonist than she does with Arch Enemy.
She 100% did. She had a lot more clean vocals in The Agonist.
I know she did some guttural vocals, but it was a lot. I think it was like 50-50 as far as clean and.
And I like The Agonist. Like when I haven't heard them since they got their new singer after Alyssa quit. But like The Agonist when Alyssa was with them, I listened to it. I love it.
She got thrown out.
Or is that what happened?
She got thrown out. She got somehow something happened. She got thrown out. No reason given. And obviously she joined Arch Enemy after that. But for some reason, there's bad blood between them. Bad blood.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I thought they split ways. Like,
interesting. Interesting.
No. A new band that I dig, and I know I've talked about a lot, is Abnormality.
Yeah,
Abnormality's fucking sick, dude.
That's badass.
And Pete, you know that was a female singer, so I told you.
I had no idea, man. That was fucking crazy. We played them last week.
Yeah, we used it as bumper
no
music
idea.
And shit. Yeah, wow. It was good.
Yeah, I mean, they just came out with that new album last week. Oh, my God. Holy shit. That's a killer album. I mean, it's so fucking extreme, and you have no clue at this. I think her name's Malika Sundermuth or something like that. I can't even fucking pronounce it. But they're out of Boston. They have three albums out. The newest one came out last week, and it's just fucking killer.
Abnormality is bad. It's one of my favorite ones that I've been listening to lately. Female fronted is Dehydrated. Have you heard them?
I haven't heard them yet.
Dehydrated, so sick. I think they're from like Ukraine or something like that. I can't remember where, but this chick's got a fucking voice, and I'm just like, fuck yeah, dude, get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and when they sing like that, it's, you can't tell. I mean, at least I couldn't tell. I mean, if you wouldn't have told me, like you said, I would have thought it was a dude, man. It's fucking crazy.
You know, and I know a lot of people, I mean, I don't dig this band, but I know like this new band, Ginger.
Yeah.
I listen to them. I do listen to them. She's got her gutturals are actually really good. She doesn't.
I haven't given a listen yet, but I know a lot of people are digging them. I haven't heard him yet.
Yeah, Jenny likes him a little bit, not a lot. She's not really into metal, but she said you had turned around to that.
Who's Chris. That?
Jenny.
Oh, Jen. Yeah.
She said she kind of likes him.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy him.
She's not a metalhead either, though. So.
Right. Does like Cerebral Bore still have a female vocalist? Because I know that chick had
they
some.
They did, yeah.
Guts,
Cerebral
dude.
Bore, and then like Awaiting the Autopsy.
Awaiting the Autopsy. Yeah.
Oh wow.
That's the guts band on there, that had dude. A female vocalist.
Fuck nice. Yeah.
And then for some reason, there's like a prevalency as far as like doom metal. A lot of bands have female fronted vocalists. A band I really like a lot is called Windhand.
Windhand.
Yeah, I've got a song from them later on. We're gonna play a little snippet.
I mean, you talk about heavy and doomy. Holy shit! Good stuff. And I really didn't know she was a female. It was a female vocals either. I thought it was like, because it kind of sounded like an Aussie thing. So I thought it was a male, but it's another female vocals. Another band that I dig is a band called Lucifer. Originally formed from the guitarist from Cathedral formed it with the singer from a band called The Oath. Okay. Another band that I dig. But for some reason, I don't know why there's a really big prevalence in a lot of doom metal bands as far as female vocals. I don't know why.
That's weird. I mean, I like Holy Moses is a good one that's more thrash. And then we played Poker Face earlier. Those dudes are from Russia, and they've got a female singer, and they're very thrashy. It's just fucking cool to see the different styles that these women are able to pull off, man. It's fucking killer.
Have you guys heard Sisters of Suffocation at all?
Sisters of Suffocation. Yeah,
I know they started off as an all-female group. I think they have a male drummer right now, but it's a pretty heavy death metal, and this girl can fucking belt it out like nobody else, dude. Like,
wow.
It's like Sisters of Suffocation. If you haven't heard them, check them out. They're so badass.
I'll check them out.
Now, here's a joke we used to play back in the Low 12 days, speaking of female, all-female bands. We used to get a kick out of people at metal shows when you would bring up the most obscure band, like Sisters of Suffocation. Yeah, yeah. Instead of just saying, no, I've never heard them before, you get the metalheads like, those dudes are fucking sick, man. Yeah.
They have no idea.
So we used to make up. So we made up, or I made up a band called Cockring.
I remember that.
And there was no band named Cockring, but we put them on like the flyer, you know, like Low 12, so-and-so, and Cockring, you know. And people would be like, oh, those motherfuckers are sick, man, you know. Actually, it's an all-girl band, you know. Really? You know, like I'd fuck with them. And then in the funny. Brutality Report, I made like album covers, you know, like live and in your face. And it's like a bukkake shot.
That's
like
fucking hilarious.
And all these nasty ones. One was called Ass to Mouth. I mean, they were pretty bad. And so they were just so ridiculous. And people would just claim like they knew who they were. And then there was one time we were supposed to play with them and the bus broke down, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to be every
just
excuse.
Fucking around with people. Like, I'm so metal, I know everybody, but you don't know who this is.
All-girl death metal band from St. Louis called Cockroach.
Sisters of Suffocation is legit, though. So
yeah, that's legit.
And another one that's like all-female is Frantic Amber. I love they're fucking good as shit, dude.
I'll tell you what, as a one-man band, I don't know how many times I'm like, I get messages or people that'll say, oh, Gormonger, those guys are awesome. You guys are awesome.
Right.
And I'm like, I've been a one-man band for like 15 years, so if you don't know that by now, I don't know. But I get that all the time.
That's funny. Yeah, that's funny. But, you know, I mean, obviously, if you're not as familiar with
that,
you know, people might not even think of it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny, though. That's funny. Well, I, you know, as a person that typically, you know, doesn't have much knowledge of the one-man band stuff, when I hear a band name, I'm immediately thinking it's a band.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
For
right,
sure.
Right, right.
When I go to a show and I'm like, okay, like, where is everything, yeah. You know? And just one dude comes out and does what you guys do. It's pretty awesome. But it's just so different than what I'm thinking of, yeah, when I hear, oh, yeah, music. So I could see it if he wasn't familiar. But like, yeah, you said, you've been doing this.
It's the ones that come up that are acting like they know what's up, though.
Oh, sure.
That's what I mean. They're acting like they know everything about what's going on, and then they just blatantly make that mistake to you, and you're just like, okay.
That's funny.
But no, you're right. It is like a little more rare of a thing. So to most people, especially, oh, yeah, if I'm setting up and I've got somebody's drum kit behind me,
right,
I really fuck them up, because then I start my set and they're like, wait, nobody else came out. What's going on?
Right, right. Now, Joey, you got a new album out, right?
Yeah. I just dropped Horror Flicks 2, which is obviously the second in the Horror Flicks saga. Yeah, CK grabbed that. I appreciate that. It's been getting sent out pretty well. It's been doing pretty nicely.
Good.
And it's got I know that you guys talked about it before, but it's got an intermission with the Kaya's poem that you guys had to do on here.
Yeah, that's daughter's really poem cool, man. We got to play that on here. We need to
get one
of those to get some songs off it and play on here. So
hell yeah.
That's fucking cool. And how could people get a copy of it, dude?
Go to Goremonger on Facebook and hit me up and just let me know.
Cool.
I'll get you that anywhere in the world.
Good, it's awesome. Don't it, CK?
Yeah, CK, you dig it, don't you? You said?
Oh, yeah, I love it, man. It's fucking great.
That's cool. That's awesome. Now, dude, there's been a lot of new stuff coming out, man.
Yeah,
holy
shit. What
you
got for new albums?
New
Possessed.
Yeah, you got two great releases that just came out. Like you said, Possessed and Archbetheos.
Yeah.
Holy
Now, Revelations of Oblivion, Possessed. I was telling these guys, every song straight up fucking kills, man.
Oh, it's And what I love about it is it has that old school Possessed feel.
Yes.
But it's fresh.
It is.
And it has that. And the drums sound exactly the way Mike Suss used to play in the day. I mean, it's a different total band. The only original member is Jeff Becerra.
Okay, I was just going to ask you how many people were.
Yeah, there's nobody original.
Wow.
He's the only original. It's a whole new band. And
that's amazing. But he doesn't play bass, right? He just sings, Jeff?
No, he just sings.
That's what I thought.
He's the chair, yeah.
Right, right.
But he kills it. He kills it.
Oh, he does. He's amazing, man. Great to see Jeff Becerra doing that shit again. Yeah, it's a great album, Revelations of Oblivion. It's fucking kills. And like you said, dude, that Arch Matthäus album, Winter Ethereal.
I haven't heard John Arch sound that good in years.
Yeah, that's impressive. But the music, I thought, was heavier than the first release.
Oh, it's much heavier. I think it's much heavier.
And I love the different musicians they use, too. You could totally tell when it's Joey Vera playing bass or Steve DiGiorgio. I mean, it's really cool. Really cool.
I mean, I think it's pretty much, I know Joe DeBias, X320, plays one song on it.
Right.
Drummers, I know you have
Mark Zonder and Bobby.
Mark Zonder. I forget who the other guy is, but it's 67 minutes of progressive metal that does not get boring.
No, it's really, really good. Definitely both of those releases are unfucking believable. We got any other? What we got stuff coming up? What's a couple things coming out here soon?
There's not too much coming up. Actually New Sacred Reich. I just heard New Sacred Reich is coming out in the summer after 20 something years of coming out with a new album.
God damn, that's almost Possessed status.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Possessed is 30 years.
Right, like I said, that's almost.
Maiden just ended up, I just read today, Maiden just got done recording the new album. So that should be coming out, I believe, the end of the year.
Wow.
Big announcement on that, I heard. Right now, I think that's it until you'll probably start seeing some releases in a couple weeks with summer coming up. But right now, it's pretty quiet right now.
That's cool.
Since you're here, Cashman, you know of anything coming up under the Grind Underground coming out soon at all?
Yeah, any local or anything
like as far
at
as
all?
Releases?
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure, but I do know that, like, locally, Waco Jesus, they're working on their new album.
Yes, right. I did
talked
hear
to
that.
Kevin. He said that that's going very well.
Nice.
I know that Putrid Pile is currently in the studio.
I know
Pile's
on
new
there.
CD.
Yes, I am.
Fuck yeah.
I'm really excited about that.
Sean getting
yeah.
it.
Always somebody working on something somewhere. But oh, those yeah. two always. Are probably the two that I'm watching the most in the underground.
That's cool. We've talked about Chalk and their recording sounds
yeah.
unreal.
They're,
but
they're recording.
They're
dude,
still
I was
working
wrong.
On
that
stuff.
One I played.
It's
you,
not
that was
a final.
That wasn't a final.
No, I know, because I asked Pete about it, and he's like, oh, no, that was
yeah, I was
amazing.
Like, oh, shit, all right,
Jesus.
Cool.
I asked him, I said, man, as soon as you get something we can use, man, we'd definitely love to play
definitely.
It. You know? All right, so, yeah, I think that's about it on the
local
stuff.
Yeah, like
national,
I said,
Chuck's
been working on that shit, fucking...
Yeah.
Cashman, he's sitting over here being lazy. He's only put out fucking what, three things in the last year.
Right.
So anyway, guys, definitely a good metal segment. CK, what did you have in mind for us next time?
Okay, we're going to do a little four-part series.
Oh shit.
Oh,
on
nice.
Me.
It's going to be metal bands with no original members.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool. I know you've been talking about that.
Yeah, that's nice. Cool. That's cool. That should be fun. Fuck
that's
yeah, dude.
Hilarious.
So, I mean, there's actually five, but one band I don't really give a shit about, and I don't want to offend anybody because I know they're popular. So,
yeah. No, it's all good, man. No, that's fine. So, that
but
sounds
it should,
good.
It should be fun. Should be
that's
fun.
That's awesome. Well, very cool, man. Well, always, CK, nice to have you here. And we got Joey Cashman on. As well, so it's always just cool to have our friends doing this
doing
thing with us. So,
with us.
Yeah, and next time Joe's in the studio, we're going to do some Laz Rocket.
Hell yeah.
All right, what if it's
fuck
in the
yeah.
middle of your poor four-part fucking segment?
I'll have to come after that.
Yeah, I'll have to leave it up to you two to work out when he could be here when you
right,
want to do that.
Laz
that
Rocket.
Would be
yeah,
fun.
Whenever we can come in, we'll work it out.
Yeah,
I think cool. we got one plan coming up. That
yeah, there was one that you wanted to do, so we'll have to get
yeah,
CK
we'll talk
what
about
that is. Cool, CK. Well, good to talk to you, dude. Get back on that train so you don't miss it.
Okay.
We'll,
yeah, I know.
We'll see.
I'll talk to you guys later.
Later,
later
bro.
CK. Of your worst and darkest self. And then thoughts come to strike you down. Tear your flesh and bones. You face your biggest fears. And then thoughts come to drown yourself. You fight against yourself. Your suffering is yours. That is fucking Holy Moses, Undead
Holy Moses.
Dogs.
Nice.
Kind of a strange song title, but...
fucking...
Fucking wicked, though.
Yeah. Them screams. Yeah, it's a female, but...
Yeah, German.
It doesn't mean, like, them screams, though, dude.
No.
And it's not even female-generated. That's a dude doing that, but it's a chick.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
They've been doing this shit forever, too, so... She's not young, and she's fucking killing it, man. So definitely, you know, killing it tonight with the female metal vocalist. Pretty awesome. But now, guys, we are moving into... One of our favorite parts
the
of the show, the mayhem time. And
this
that's
is where
when
the shit gets stupid.
This is like the hold my beer type shit going on here. So,
hey, bro, hold my beer.
Now, we did start, we got smart here. We started a Twitter page, finally. So we are at Get Your Murder On. So if you go on Twitter and do the @ Get Your Murder On or twitter.com/Get Your Murder On, you'll find us. So, that's where we are. You can follow us there. And we're going to start posting more stuff on there now. So that's cool.
We're going to be tweeting like all you fancy people.
That's right. We got Pawback as our profile
picture. I know, right, dude?
On both pages.
When I came up as a fucking profile picture, I was just like, really? That's awesome. Fucking dad just standing there with his
yeah.
shirt on like, what, bitch?
Yeah, exactly. I love it. So
that's some hillbilly shit.
That's some hillbilly shit. So yeah, it's it was fucking cool. I was going through stuff, changing a couple things. I saw that picture. I'm like, oh, that's just too good, man.
No, that picture was so good. I remember when you took that. That was great.
Now I got a funny little mayhem story here. We have this this guy that I used to work with. His name was Rob Wilson.
We'll go with Rob.
And Rob was a real serious homophobe.
Right.
Okay, like
right.
bad. Okay. And so anyway, for this job we had to go for a physical every year. And it was to be able to wear a respirator. So they're doing different things, you know.
You got to grab your junk and cough and all that. Yeah,
yeah, vision, you know, that's heart, lungs, the basic physical.
Everything,
you know?
Yeah.
And so anyway, our birthdays were a month apart, so we had to go about the same time of the year, but I went first, so I was a month before him.
Oh, no, you told him some shit, didn't you?
So, well, so anyway, I go through my physical, okay? And so he comes in to work after he does his, and he comes into my office all like, hey, he's like all like hush, hush, you know? He's like, did that fucking doctor look in your ass? I was like, what? He's like, that fucking doctor out there at the fucking clinic, did he look in your ass at your physical? I'm like, no. He's like, he didn't? I'm like, no, maybe he was fucking sweet on you, man. He's looking in your ass. Fuck you, man. No, he looked in your ass. He's like yelling now. I'm like, really? So I'm like, no, he did not look in my ass. I don't know what you're talking about.
Holy shit.
Of course he did. He gave you the option of looking in your ass, or you had to take home this like box and shit in the box. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'd rather not do that. Like, just, whatever.
I'm more comfortable with a guy sticking a digit in there than shitting in a box and driving it around town.
Look up my ass, whatever you got to do, man. Just get this over with. So anyway, so I'm fucking with Rob, okay?
Right, right.
So anyway, about 2 weeks later, we have a company meeting, you know, and he's there, obviously. And so I went up to another employee. I said, hey, I said, I'm messing with Rob, you know, and you know that doctor, you know, he does this new, whatever. I said, well, he's all freaked out because he thinks it's only him. He's like, are you serious? And I told him about it. He thought it was funny. So I said, do me a favor. So I told him, to do. So anyway, we're getting ready to start this meeting. And he comes in and he's like, hey, to Rob. And he's like, what? He's like, there's some guy outside asking for you. And he's like, what? He's like, some guy out there in like a Corvette or something. He's asking for you. I said, he says, but it's weird. It looks like the doctor from when we bring it on. Dude fucking lost it, man. Got up out of the chair. What? You know? He went running outside and shit. Of course, there's nobody out there. Right. So then he knew we were fucking with him, man. Oh, man. We got his ass
fucking
good. Dude,
that's so fucking hilarious.
We got him really good.
He looked in your ass, bro.
Dude, that's so good.
Yeah, this guy was just fucking ridiculous.
God, dude, that's fucking funny, man.
So anyway, dude, talk about shit. Funny, man. There was a story. I saw this shit online.
Yeah, you sent this link to me.
It seemed very suspicious, but there's actually like a local news story about it. So covered I think it's real. But three guys, 31, 34, and 41 years old in Munson, Pennsylvania, which is like North Pennsylvania, like in the sticks.
Of course it is, because it was a makeshift farm.
makeshift
farm.
Whatever that means. We're sentenced to 20 to 41 years for having sex with a cow, a goat, and 9 female horses.
And countless amounts of dogs.
In late August, okay? We're laughing, but this is just so fucked up. They had a 16-year-old boy. What was he doing?
He was restraining these animals so these dudes could fuck these animals.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, fucking horrible.
Oh, my God.
He said they had a specially designed V-shaped pen. I mean, I'm just trying to...
That is hard. I feel sorry for that 16-year-old kid, dude. But the
you know, he was getting some pussy too.
Oh, you know, he was all about it, bro. You know it, dude.
Yeah. He's like that. He's not just watching. He's like,
that duck looks good.
I mean, what did they do? Like old McDonald and whatever animal? I mean, Jesus Christ. And to build a V-shaped pen, I mean, you're quite...
Like you're trapping him in there. Sometimes the sheep knows he's a bitch pushed to the fence. Yeah.
It's like an animal brothel, kind of. You get a pick of what you want.
Oh, my God. Now, they said there are 1,400 counts related. That's a lot.
1400
of sexual intercourse with animals, cruelty to animals, endangering the welfare of children, and corruption of minors. Huh. Also, video cameras and shit were found. So, God, can you imagine that shit show? It's this like, went on for years, dude.
Motherfucking toy box. Dog fucking. Yeah, yeah. But the opposite way.
Pig box. The district attorney said, this was, I love this one, quote, this was one of the worst cases.
Only one of the worst.
One of the worst. I mean, really? I mean, how often is this happening in Northern Pennsylvania?
Animal fucking in PA, dude. Fuck.
Jesus Christ. I mean, my God.
How the fuck could it be one of the... It should geez, be the worst.
Yeah, this right. should be like up on the bulletin board yeah. for like ever. You yeah. know, as the worst of the worst. Oh, my God. So these animals, thankfully, were at least rescued and gotten the fuck out of there.
Yeah, they're in prison now.
They're somewhere. At least they're not being abused.
No,
you know,
oh, you're talking about the actual animals, not yeah. the animals.
No, no, yeah. The actual animals, the pieces of shit are away. And I'm sure their stay in the penitentiary, it's not going to be very pleasant.
So. Yeah, all the animals are rescued. They're not getting raped.
Right. Now they're going to get raped. Yeah. So, yeah. Tit for tat.
That would be pretty funny if one of them fucking horses said, you know what? Fuck you. This has been happening to me for years. Guess what? Your turn, bitch. It's like, I had nothing to do with it. I'm trying to help you.
So, yeah. So that story was just fucking crazy. Now, we've got a killer cage match coming up here. Very special all women tag team match.
Yes.
Since it's our Mother's Day episode, got Eileen Wuornos and Lizzie Borden versus
Catherine Knight and Belle Guinness.
Oh man, that's a hell of a
fucking battle.
Pretty brutal. I mean,
brutal cat fight.
Yeah, that is. I mean, that's going to be interesting.
That's a fight, bro.
Yeah, that's like prison fight legit. Okay. Now, thanks again to listeners Dan Maxleiter Steinlicht and Pete Dursaradovich and Tommy Davis for the random numbers.
Tommy, how you doing, boy?
And so they provided the objects they're going to fight with and the variable in the cage. Now, the objects, Chris, are what?
We got a freaking one of those big ass, like you go to your grandma's house back in the day, those big ass leather bound Bibles,
right.
dude. That's
you
just
could fuck somebody
there.
Up with that.
Oh, it weighs fucking like a Volkswagen, dude.
It does. It does.
Like, it's like a Volkswagen sitting on the counter.
Right.
And they also got a straight razor.
Yeah, so that sounds like a good time.
Slicing.
So the variable, Cash, Joey, what's the variable?
I mean, the variable, this is a new variable. I haven't seen this one used yet. And it's the one and only G-Money.
G-Money. G-Money.
I'll quickly tell the story, okay? Because, oh, my God, I go on about this one. But
G-Money.
There was this dude that used to live near where I lived, and he was one of these kids in the 90s. That as a little white kid, especially in a trailer park,
it was ghetto as hell.
Thought he was black, and his first name starts with a G. So I was fucking with him one day because he had like the baggy pants and just looked like a jackass. And he was standing out in front of his house. He's fucking just worthless as fuck. And I said, "Hey, what's up, G Money?" You know, like fucking with him. And he like thought it was fucking
around.
Cool.
He's like, yeah, what's up?
Like, he calls himself that.
Hey,
yeah.
Dog, what's up?
So anyway, I thought it would be funny to add G Money to the cage because I don't know exactly what he's going to do with these four going at it. So,
oh, I know what's going to happen with him.
So, so we got this going on. So, what do you guys think, man?
All right, I think we kind of have a little pre-fight discussion earlier. Right. I think we're all in agreement that G Money is going to try and be a pimp, walk up on all these hoes.
Oh wow!
And Eileen's going to be like, shoot him in the head, and he's like, he tried to rape me. That's what Eileen's going to do. That's what Eileen Wuornos does. Now, Lizzie might be standing with an axe, be like, look at Eileen, and be like, you want me to take his head? I can get that too. So, like, G Money's just non-existent.
Yeah, I don't think G Money's a factor at
no,
all. What
G
about
G Money
you,
is not
Joey?
A factor.
I mean, I think the way I see this going down is all four of them bitches are going to get together Eileen Wuornos is going to grab that Bible and start rolling joints out of the papers. She's going to get everybody there so high, turn around, the straight razor, slice all three of the other ladies' necks, and then tell G-Money he's got one of two options. Either he dies too, he gets her into Def Jam Recordings and gets
Cashman.
Oh, man. Nice.
Nice.
That's fucking funny, man. With old B-Boot. B-Boot. Wow. G-Money and B-Boot. That sounds like a fucking combination there, man.
That's a tag team for the cage.
Yeah, there you go. That's hilarious. I don't know, but like just physically, Catherine Knight and Belle Gunness is going to be a pretty tough.
No, that's a force to be reckoned with.
Belle was a stout fucking bitch. And Catherine Knight was a fucking animal. And then, of course, Eileen Wuornos was tough as hell. Lizzie Borden, though, stature-wise, not a very big woman.
Not super big.
But, I mean, she did hack up some motherfucking parents with an axe, so that's pretty violent. She's swinging
that axe around when she does it?
Yeah. So
that axe got reach.
It's a tough match. I don't know.
I'm going to go, if I had to pick that way, G-Money, and mine, G-Money's out of the equation. He's dead.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go with Catherine Knight and Eileen Wuornos do some WWE thing. They start an alliance. They kill Lizzie Borden and Bull Guinness, and they just win that tag team battle as Eileen and Catherine. That's mine.
There you go.
And maybe scissor fuck in the middle of the ring.
You know they're rubbing them pussies together so fucking nice. Ugh.
Yuck. All right, so that was a good one, I thought. You know, that's an interesting Killer Cage match there.
Mother's Day version.
Yeah, for sure.
Happy Mom's Day.
Now, we've got this new segment we talked about earlier, Interview with a Serial Killer. Thought we'd explain it a bit here. Like I said, we've got people that we interview that have the same name as a serial killer, but are not the actual.
They're not actually the serial killer.
Most of these serial killers we're going to do are dead, so.
Right.
That's what makes it even more fun because the person starts getting aggravated as we start asking
questions about the murders and why they're the real people. You know? And they're like, motherfucker, it wasn't fucking
dude. Yeah. So it'll be fun. We're not going to do it every week. We're just going to sporadically do these. It should be fun. This very first one we did with
Henry Lee Lucas.
And we did Henry Lee Lucas not too long ago. So. Yeah. We've got this interview we did with not the Henry Lee, but a youth minister at a church. So this should be very interesting. Yeah, in Georgia. Yeah. So also named Henry Lee Lucas. So check this one out and see what you guys think. And then as we end this one out, we're fucking mayhem them out.
Fuck yeah, dude. Mayhem over.
I'm doing the first episode of Interview with a Serial Killer. I'm speaking with Henry Lee Lucas. Thanks for doing this interview with me, Henry Lee.
Sure, no problem. What's with the middle name? Lee? My actual middle name is Leopold. It's a family name on my mom's side.
Well, that's just a formality, Henry Lee.
Just call me Henry, please. Now, what did you want to talk about? I've got a group of kindergartners coming in here in a few minutes.
Damn, Henry, kindergartners? I didn't think you liked fucking them that young. I mean, Becky was a bit older than that, right?
What? What the heck are you talking about? I'm a youth pastor at the New Lord Fellowship Church.
Hey, man, I'm not judging you. Why don't we talk about Otis? Do you see him much anymore?
Who? Otis? I don't know anyone by that name.
Oh, come on now, Henry. We all know you and Otis were butt buddies. You killed a whole bunch of people together. Now you're going to claim that you don't know him? You got a new dude you're banging now?
I don't know who you think you're talking to, but this is not the Henry Leopold Lucas you refer to. I am not homosexual. That's against God's word. In 1 Corinthians, the Lord said...
God's word? Come on now, Henry. That's pretty fucking funny. Did you worry about God's word when you killed all those people across the country?
That's it. I'm out of here.
Well, folks, sorry about that. Obviously, Henry is a bit upset. He must not have gotten the Pop-Tarts he ordered in his commissary this week. Until next time on Interview with a Serial Killer. Chuck. Yeah, that was Windhand. That's Windhand. That band CK mentioned. He digs those guys. And I played that specific song because one of the more underground bands CK likes that he hasn't talked about yet is a band Halcyon Way. And that song is called Halcyon. So that one's for you.
That makes sense. All CK. Right, CK.
Fuck yeah. So we are doing fucking killing it tonight. I think we had a good time. I think we did our thing.
It's good to have Cashman in the house again.
Fuck yeah, man. Thanks, Joey, for coming in, dude.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Always a lot of fun have you here with us. Of course, Gormonger, the first band to play here at Horns High Studios. We had that video on YouTube. Actually, had a lot of people that really dug that.
Yeah.
I kind of used that as the model when I did the other ones. Right. I don't know if you saw the Chalk and EOC ones, but it was cool. And I'm almost done. I had just a couple of things to tweak to the Chris Benoit the video we shot of that episode turned out good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With we Adam in here running, and the fucking Mysteria mask of fucking CCK.
CCK, yeah, yeah.
And I got all that on video. Awesome. And so I'm just touching up a couple of little spots, and that'll be up on the YouTube channel as well. So. Great. People can go there and check it out. But Joey got the new album out now, and people can hit you up, you said, on Facebook.
Yep, Horrorflix 2, hit me up. You can get that. You can get any of the Gormonger stuff I have, I'm sure. It's
and anything on fucking FTA Records?
Yeah, you got a ton of stuff,
dude.
Yeah,
I got a lot of stuff. If you're into if anyone out there still collects physical CDs and likes brutal metal, hit me up. I got quite a bit of different shit, and I sell it all real cheap. So
yeah, you got some really good stuff, so... That's definitely a dying breed because back in the day that was so popular and now it's just few and far between.
I mean, to be honest, we're super lucky that, to be honest, we are in the one genre that still appreciates physical copies.
Yeah,
still.
Exactly. Nobody's still a the newer genres are like, just stream it, fuck it. Yeah.
Right. I mean, a lot of the metalheads are that way too, but even more so what you're doing with the grindcore scene and all that. So that's really awesome. Thanks, everybody listening out there. I mean, we've been crushing it with the listens.
Yeah, I never thought we'd fucking be this far, let alone still... I ain't gonna lie, I had my optimism about it, but now I'm just like, well, we're persevering now. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're really seeing the rise in the right direction, which is, of course, going up. And so, we're, 2,000 listens a week. I mean, that's pretty good for a couple of guys fucking doing this in a garage.
Fuck yeah, it may not seem like a lot to you, but what are you doing right now?
That's right. So we are definitely going to start a Patreon page. We're looking into the details, and what it'll basically be is a monthly subscription if you're interested. You don't have to do this. You can keep listening to the show.
Yeah,
nothing changes.
The podcast is still coming out.
Yeah, nothing changes. The only thing this will do is if you want to do it, it's like we'll be like $5, $10 tops. We'll see. We have to work out the detail. But with that, you'll get some perks. You'll get like the episodes a day early.
You'll get bonus content that people won't get in for months.
Right. We're going to do all the interviews as exclusive Patreon content instead of doing them as free on the regular episodes
If you want the whole interview, you got to be a Patreon.
Yeah. And I thought, too, when I do the karaoke songs, I could send them to them. Right when I do them, so you get them, early. Everything would be early and exclusive. And so we're working out the details, but again, it would be totally optional. A lot of podcasts do this because it's not free to do this. It costs money to host the podcast, and it would be good to have something to offset that a bit. So it's, it's just something. And of course, the more we can advertise, we can do more merch.
We could do
grow the podcast,
better quality sound. Everything.
Yeah, I mean, we could continually. We've been updating stuff, but it's been out of our own pockets.
From day one, dude. Like day one, you listen to that one, it was like shit.
Yeah, I mean, we've learned a lot in this year and month that we've been a couple months that we've been doing this, but yeah, I mean, it's money helps keep everything going. So we'll keep you posted. And again, it'll be optional. So, got some good comments here, Chris. Yeah. What you want to read one?
Ed Holmes. He says, "I really love the podcast you did. You did on Ked McElroy. Never heard about him before." And then he was a good one to do because that was the he was The dude's name is the one that got killed, which is the best.
Yeah, I love that. When you pitched that to me, I was like, what?
I was like, no, check out Ken McElroy. We need to do this shit.
Yeah, and I watched the doc on him, and I was like, oh, my God, this is so fucked up.
Such a dick. So, yeah, dude. Ed, dude, thanks for listening, man. Yeah, thanks for commenting. Please continue to listen. Please continue to let your friends and everybody know. Just drop it out there, man. Thank you, man.
Fuck yeah. Joey, you want to read one, bro?
You guys got one from Selma Hicks. She said, I love you guys and CK rocks. That story about the priest in the hospital was fucking awesome. Yeah. Which it was.
It was fucking hilarious. Say the F-bomb all you want. Say the F-word all you want, dude.
Yeah, I thought that was so funny. And when he told me it had to do with the priest and the podcast, I'm like,
dude, when you told me that's all he said, I'm just like, okay, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, he had my mind racing, man. Yeah, that was good.
Laura's like, you say fuck a lot. He's like, so fucking what? Fuck yeah, CK, get it.
Totally.
Thank you, Selma.
So, Chris, with the next one there.
Oh. Hillary is my hoe.
Bless
you. Hi, Hillary. You guys should do a podcast on retrospect. That dude was fucked up. Yeah.
A little bit.
What he did to them fucking nurses is totally bad. And after he got to prison, his little super
titties and the coke. Part of like both parts of
Yeah, one part of what he did and the other part of prison. Yeah.
Either that or an exclusive all spec. We could do an all spec like, we did with Zodiac.
Yeah. Dude.
We could. Maybe
spec
we're
would
due.
Be one to do that with.
We're,
oh,
what, we're due,
Hillary,
maybe.
Yeah, dude.
Good suggestion, Joey. Yeah. We'll have to have you in on that one.
Yeah, and that's Illinois, so you know, like
totally,
yeah.
Chicago,
totally,
baby,
totally. Titties in jail,
titties in jail.
And then Joey, what's the last one there, brother?
You guys got one more comment that we're reading, and it's from Rock Your Butt. And Rock Your Butt says, "Murder Metal Mayhem fucking rules. I listen from Quebec, and I think you guys are funny as hell. Horns way up, boys.
Hell yeah, boys.
I'll tell you what." You know, at least in my line, the death metal scene, grindcore scene, Quebec is like a hot spot. They love that shit up there.
Oh, fuck.
I got a lot of fans and shit, so it's cool to see them listening to your podcast, too.
Where's Dan live? Harrison.
Dan, he lives in Ontario.
Ontario.
So that's a little bit lower, but outside New York almost.
Yeah. That's cool, though, man.
Knew he lived in Canada. I couldn't remember exactly where, but Dan's
cool.
A fucking homeboy. It's been a couple of years since he came down and hung out with Cashman. Dan Harrison, that's some fucking cool motherfucker, dude.
Yeah, it's cool, man, when we've got fans in those places like that. It's just really awesome. Don't forget to check out MurderMetalMayhem.com to listen to all the past episodes. And you can check them out. There's some good ones on there. We've touched on a couple here, but you can really go back a ways and dig into some of that shit. Also, we mentioned our YouTube channel. Go there and follow us so you can... know when we're posting new video content. And on Twitter, you can follow us at Get Your Murder On. You can also go to PeteAltieri.com if you want to pick up one of my books.
Pick up a book.
And we can't, though, let them go without a really appropriate karaoke
song. It's really good. I mean... The chorus is appropriate.
Yeah, because definitely not interested sexually whatsoever with Barbara Opal. Fine. But it's funny, and hopefully you guys dig it. So some crazy bitch-inspired karaoke. And until next time, keep one foot in the gutter.
And your fist in some fuckboy's face.
All right! You fucking crazy bitch! Break me down! You gotta love the case! We're going to your place! And now you got to break me out! Scream so loud! Get fucking laid! You want me to stay! But I got to make my way! Hey! You're a crazy bitch! Won't you look so good about that? When I dream, I'm doing you all day! Scratch the dog down my back! Keep me right on! Hey! You're a crazy bitch, but you look so good about that. When I dream, I'm doing you all day. Stretch it all down my back, keep me right on. Take it off, the paper is your game. You jump in bed with fame. another one night paid in full. Yeah, you're so blind, it won't be a loss. Dishing in the rocks just to get you face to face. Hey, you're crazy, bitch, but you look so good, I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night. Scratches all down my back, keep me right on. Hey, you're crazy, bitch, but you look so good, I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night. Scratches all down my back, keep me right on. Crazy bitch, crazy bitch. Hey, you're crazy bitch, but you run so good, I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night. Stretched all down my back to keep me right on. Hey, you're crazy bitch, but you run so good, I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night. Stretched all down my back to keep me right on. Baby girl, scratches all down my back, keep me right on. Hey, you're crazy bitch, but you look so good, I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night. Scratches all down my back, keep me right on. Keep me right on. You're crazy, but I like the way you block me.
Mother! Mother, man.